Application Academy is closing if you are applying to medical school in 2024 to start in 2025. We are closing in mid-April, April 12th or 13th, somewhere around there, somewhere in mid-April. We're closing our door. It's time for you to get in to Application Academy to get the support you need to put together your story so that you aren't one of those students that end up rejected because you didn't know how to tell your story. Come join us at applicationacademy.com. Use the promo code podcast for a little extra discount. Use the promo code podcast for a little extra discount. I'll see you soon at applicationacademy.com. The pre-med path can be super confusing. If you'd love some help on your path or on your applications, use the promo code PMY for pre-med years, PMY, over at medicalschoolhq.net and get some help from some of our experts, former directors of admissions, admissions officers, other experts. We have a small team ready to help you today. Again, that's promo code PMY to get a discount on our services at medicalschoolhq.net. If you're applying to medical school in 2022 to start medical school in 2023, join me Wednesday or Thursday, Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern or Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern at premedworkshop.com. Go register today. I'm going to show you how to tell your story in your application. Again, that's premedworkshop.com. If you are applying to medical school in 2022, be there or be square. The pre-med year, session number 396. Hello, and welcome to The Pre-Med Years, where we believe that collaboration, not competition, is key to your success. I'm your host, Dr. Ryan Gray, and in this podcast, we share with you stories, encouragement, and information that you need to know to help guide you on your path to becoming a physician. Welcome to the pre-med years. I hope you're having an amazing day. I hope that you have applied to medical school if you're applying this cycle. If you're not, that you're close to applying. If you're taking the MCAT soon, I hope your MCAT prep is going exactly how you want it, getting 520s across the board, because that would be amazing, wouldn't it? The question of applying is what we're going to talk about today. And really the question of, am I ready to apply? This is going to be a new series that I'm going to do with Dr. Scott Wright, the VP of Academic Advising at MAPPD.com. Now, MAPPD.com, MAPPD.com, is my new technology platform that I'm co-founding with Rachel Grubbs, who has almost 20 years experience in the test prep world. And Rachel, formerly of Next Step Test Prep and Blueprint, and I joined up late last year, 2019, to form MAPPD. And we are so close to showing more and more of what we're doing at MAPPD. But one of the things that I wanted to continue at MAPPD was providing amazing content for you. Everything that I've been doing here at medical school headquarters, we're going to be doing even more of with MAPPD. And because I have Dr. Scott Wright, the former director of admissions at UT Southwestern Medical School, the former executive director of TMD SAS, he was in charge of the whole application service and had intimate knowledge and connections with all of the medical schools through TMD SAS. Dr. Scott Wright and I are going to do Am I Ready? A new series, a new podcast, a new YouTube series that's going to be on the MAPPD YouTube channel, which you can find at MAPPD.tv, MAPPD.tv. But the new series is going to be a Q&A, a quick Q&A, am I ready to apply? And it's something that we tested at National Pre-Med Day, and that's what you're going to hear today. Now, the format was a little bit different. We didn't have the student with us, which we're thinking about doing for Am I Ready? We're still trying to figure all of that out, but Am I Ready is going to be a new series that we're going to put on with MAPPD that you're going to be able to listen to, you're going to be able to watch, and maybe be even able to participate in. And you're going to hear the first episode today again from National Pre-Med Day, which we held on 5/28. I hope you enjoy this Am I Ready episode. If you are interested in applying potentially for this year or starting off for next year, whether you're ready to apply for this next cycle, you want to get a head start of questioning whether or not you're going to be ready to apply, go to mapped.com. Again, mapped.com/ready. mapped.com/ready. And we'll redirect you to a Google form that you can fill out and let us know that you are interested in applying to be on Am I Ready. Without further ado, let's jump in. Say hello to Dr. Scott Wright, the VP of Academic Advising with MAPT. Dr. Scott Wright with Am I Ready to Apply? So we announced this and students were freaking out. They're like, yes, this is what I want. Like, can I do it? I'm not applying this cycle. I'm like, no, just like wait. So we got a bunch of students applying for Am I Ready to Apply? We were going to call it like red light, green light. Am I Ready to Apply? Talking through some of these students' applications, potentially where they're at. Obviously, a lot is going to be based on stats and hours and stuff like that. And just talk through it. Like if you potentially saw an application come across like this, just from a numbers perspective, which are where a lot of students are trying to figure out, should I apply now or should I apply later, is the decision algorithm. So what do you say? You ready to play?
Absolutely.
we need some like Am I Ready to Apply theme music. that would be fun. All right. So let me just ask you before we jump into the first one. When it comes to a student deciding for themselves, am I ready to apply? Right? They're asking themselves that. What do you think are maybe the top two or three questions that they need to be asking?
Asking of themselves. Yeah, that's, I mean, I think that, one of the big questions I think that students need to ask themselves is, does it feel right? That, you know, I think we talk, science students are so, apt to think about things in terms of spreadsheets and data and scientific analysis, et cetera. But I'm a real advocate for gut feeling too. Mm-hmm. Does this feel like the right time? Do I feel in my heart of hearts like this is like I'm ready, like this is a good timing? And I think that also bouncing that off of other pre-meds, you know, the collaborative effort that we have with each other to say, you know, where do you think I'm at? And part of that is being honest with yourself and really being willing to say, I don't think I'm ready, or have the confidence to say, I do think I'm ready. And I'm gonna push through this imposter syndrome that we've talked about a number of times today. I'm going to push through that and I'm going to really go into this with confidence. So I think part of it is being honest with yourself, being willing to ask questions of yourself. You know, I think that often we don't want to ask questions because we don't really want to know the answers. And so if you're talking to your advisor or if you're talking to another student or others that you trust, and you're not really interested in what they're going to say, or you're afraid of what they're going to say, then that may be a good indication that maybe this isn't the right timing for you. Maybe you need to back off and think about taking an extra year or taking an extra stab at it, you know, when you are in a position where you feel ready. So I think asking the question of yourself is an important step to say, I think this is the right timing for me, and trusting those around you that you have confidence in to say, yes, I agree with you. You know, this is the right timing for you. I think it's that fear factor thing that paralyzes us sometimes in thinking, oh my God, I'm not ready, or oh my God, I'm on the precipice of this, and now I'm really freaking out. You know, you know what I'm saying, Ronnie? Yeah. You've been there.
And it's hard because it's like, our anticipation is usually worse than the actual thing that we're anticipating. Oh, absolutely. That fear. And so our brains are wired to be scared of that saber-toothed tiger. Now, clicking submit on an application, there's no saber-toothed tiger. You're not going to die, but the anticipation is just as real.
Absolutely, it is. Absolutely.
All right. Well, awesome. So let's dive in and look at. We're going to talk through some of these stories that came in. So the first one that came in is from a student. It looks like she's an immigrant to this country. She was a nurse in the Philippines back in 2008. Hasn't had the MCAT yet. Is taking it in September. I wanted to know what practice scores were, but she didn't send that. So she's working. She worked as a nurse in the Philippines. In the U.S., she works as a hemodialysis technician. So she's in a clinical setting, getting a lot of good stuff. She's a martial artist, which is awesome, for 5 years. She wants to stay in Florida. It looks like she's in Florida. No big red flags, she mentioned. Her science GPA is only a 3.0 and cumulative GPA 3.13. Now, we've mentioned it a ton here, I think, of beating a dead horse. The trend matters. She didn't give us the trend. So let's assume it's flat, right? There's no trend up or down. So 3.0 science, 3.13 cumulative. She gave us a little bit of a personal statement. I'm not going to read that. And she thinks her clinical experience will help her stand out being a nurse in the Philippines and now as a hemodialysis technician. What, just based on that limited information, what kind of stands out as big question marks that you still have and that potentially would say, maybe if this is the case, we should maybe hold off and do something?
Yeah. Well, I have two concerns. Without knowing the MCAT score, and you said she hasn't taken the MCAT yet.
She's taking it September. Okay. So it'll be a delayed MCAT score.
Right. And so I think there are several issues that I would be concerned about with this applicant that might suggest that she's not ready to apply. One is the lateness of the MCAT. This is now, this is an odd year given, we have to say that about this year. Timing is kind of thrown out the window right now because of the COVID and, all the things that are affecting the timeline on applying and stuff. So my concerns, however, with that in terms of timing are MCAT. I'm wondering why she's waiting so late to take the MCAT, and maybe it's the timing with COVID and stuff. I don't know, but why is she waiting so late to take the MCAT? Secondly, is I have a significant concern about the GPA being so low, particularly in the science courses. This is where the rubber meets the road, really. I would want to know a little bit more about the background of the and specifically what courses she's taken and what scores she made in those courses. But this is a big concern for me, and this is not unusual. I think when we talk about applicants that are coming from different cultural settings or from a different model of education, that there can be some issues with regard to the transition into an American system of education, where they're not always, but there can be differences that can cause problems. I'm specifically also very concerned about the English speaking ability of someone coming from a non-English background. Now, she really didn't indicate that, but my suspicion is, coming from the Philippines, that she's not a native English speaker. And this can be significant. This can cause significant problems in a lot of ways, but most specifically on the MCAT, where it's heavily reading intensive and it's timed. And one of the questions that she needs to ask herself, if that's the case, about this issue of language, is what language does she think in? Is she thinking in her original language, or is she thinking in her in English? If she's still thinking and translating in her head, this is a big problem because of the timed nature of the MCAT. This can cause some real significant issues with finishing the exam and you know, comprehension and stuff like that. So in this particular case, I would say probably not ready. Probably need maybe another year to really focus on the MCAT, to really focus on some additional upper level science courses that she can really show to a medical school, I can do this and I can do it at a high level. If she's doing upper level science courses at basically a B level, 3.0 level, then that really doesn't show a medical school that there's the capability there that they're going to want to see those kind of courses, which is going to come as close as possible to being what she's going to face when she gets into medical school. So I would say probably not.
Okay. It's interesting. I've never really thought about the whole, are you still thinking in your native language and translating and how that potentially affects you? That's an interesting question.
It just slows everything down, way down.
Definitely. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Yeah, I think I would have those same concerns with that application or that applicant. Yeah. Right. All right. So our next student is hopefully planning on getting at least a 510 on their MCAT score. They're testing September 11th. It doesn't look like they're applying this cycle, maybe. Practice scores are about a 506, so right in range potentially with that score that they want. Mm-hmm. Cumulative GPA of 3.5, science GPA of 3.2, but with an upward trend. First semester cumulative was a 2.9, last semester was a 3.8. Transferred schools the first 2 years at one school, a 3.3. The last 3 years at a better school, more esteemed school, as they put it, a 3.65. But a less upward trend in the sciences. 3.0 first year, 3.3 the last 2 years. So still struggling a little bit with those sciences. Some good shadowing hours, about 100 hours in GI, peds, oncology. Seems like that's what they're potentially interested in. Emergency room, most recently February of 2020 for shadowing. So good recency there. A scribe at a pediatric unit that they're currently doing. 3 years of primate research, which is awesome. 500 hours of volunteering at a children's blood and cancer clinic, and a volunteer researcher on the twin brains study. That's cool.
I'd love to have twin brains.
I would love to. I could use another brain. looks like they're interested in Texas and the University of Washington. It looks like they're in Texas now. The student's mom lives in Texas or in Washington, so some good ties to that state. Red flags. It says 3 Q drops. I don't know what Q drops are. Do you know what Q drops are?
Yeah, that basically means she withdrew. She was enrolled in the course and then withdrew from the course for some reason.
Okay, so a W.
Basically.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay, so 3 withdrawals, not a red flag on my, unless there's any, on my books, unless there's any significant pattern, but it looks like they had reasons for each of those.
Yeah.
Brief explanation of wanting to be a doctor, right? They started off, as a biological anthropology student, makes sense to that primate research, and then started volunteering at the blood and cancer clinic and became a pre-med student and had some experiences then. Something that she thinks will help her stand out, a seamstress of reusable coffee filters for 7 years. Originally, again, this biological anthropology student excavated a 2 million year old rhinoceros remains in another country. And so it's an interesting little journey here. What are your thoughts on the student?
I think it sounds promising to me. I'm encouraged about the upward trajectory on the GPA on the courses. I think that it sounds like switching schools was a good thing for her, that it really, which can sometimes happen. You need a new start, you need a new scenery or whatever. And so that can be very powerful, I think, sometimes. I'm very interested in, I mean, the way you describe it, this would be the kind of applicant that I would read the essay, the application. I would think, wow, I really want to meet this student. You know, I want to meet her and you know, and talk to her and find out more about her. And that's exactly what you want a reviewer to think.
Yep.
You want a reviewer to, at the end of reading your application, you want them to be thinking, I'd really like to meet this person. So it sounds very promising to me. I would probably risk, you know, not that it's a risk, but I'd probably say go for it on this one. I think she's got a lot of good stuff in her background, a lot of really strong contact experiences and clinical experiences, some real broadness about her that is very fascinating. And medical schools these days really love that kind of stuff. It diversifies the class. It gives breadth and interest and all that. What I always suggest is you identify and make your plan to apply to medical school. And then what you want to do is you want to plan for the worst, mm-hmm. hope for the best, plan for the worst. So if her plan was to apply this year, then she would want to plan out her year as if she didn't get in and she was going to reapply next year. So what's she going to do in this intervening year until she applies next year? So she's going to hope for the best. She's going to plan for the downside. And but I would say, yeah, go for it. I mean, I think there's some richness there that would really be, you know, would really cause some interest to many of the schools.
I just want, I'd want to invite her and then steal her phone and look at her pictures of dinosaur bones.
Right.
I want to play with dinosaur bones. That's awesome. All right. So our next student here, last MCAT score was a 494, plan to retake in July, currently scoring at a 505, hope to score a 510, but realistically a 508. Science GPA 3447 for AMCAS, 3440 for ACOMAS, cumulative GPA 3564, and in a post-bac, 10 hours at this point are 373. So looks like a nice upward trend there.
Yeah.
Looks like 3,000 hours of clinical experience as a medical laboratory scientist, tutoring underserved kids for a couple years, worked as a CNA for 600 hours, crisis counselor, lots of shadowing, wow. weightlifting. Wow. So lots of great experiences, it looks like. Really long school list. Looks like mostly osteopathic medical schools, which is interesting. There's some MD ones as well. She gave us a big list here. No red flags. I want to be a doctor because I want to change the lives of others. I want to be there for patients during the most vulnerable times in their lives. And I want to be a part of the team who helped with their success. As a doctor, I will have the opportunity to do that, I guess. Any interesting things about you, I asked at the end. She's like, I was in a movie. I had a role and worked with professional actors and actresses, an indie film about Detroit. I even had a couple of lines. That's awesome.
Did
you know I was in a movie as well?
I did not.
Yeah, now you know. I was in Fever Pitch, Drew Barrymore and Jimmy Fallon movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And do you have any lines?
I did not have any lines, but I did. I was on screen. I was a baseball player extra in the movie.
Oh, okay.
And in the scene with Drew Barrymore getting hit in the head with the baseball and needing to go to the hospital to get scanned, and they're back at their house, somebody calls Jimmy Fallon and says, turn on the TV. He turns on the TV and it's like a Sports Center replay. In that Sports Center replay, that's me pitching.
Oh, wow.
That's fun.
Well, I wouldn't quit my day job just yet.
I didn't. Don't worry. They never called me back. What are your thoughts here with this one?
So, I think it sounds promising. I think the numbers are there. The MCAT sounds like it's in a good area. Sounds like she's got a plan to move forward with that and to improve on that. You said, I think you said kind of hoping for shooting for a 508. Is that what you said?
510, realistically a 508, yeah. Going okay. Up from a 494. So nice, huge yeah. Jump there.
Oh, yeah.
And how often absolutely. Are you looking at that going, oh, the MCAT score maybe is not that great, but look at their first one. Wow, it's a huge improvement.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that does happen. I've seen students who, like, you know, really blew the top out of it after not doing so well. Mm. In fact, my nephew, who is starting medical school this summer, did just that, you know, sort of did okay. And then wham, and I think his improvement was 13 points.
Wow.
And from one sitting to another. So it's an amazing point increase. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think this is another one where I would say, yeah, the numbers look good. The activities and stuff are outstanding. Yep. I wouldn't delay on an application for that student. I think there's really no reason to hold back and, you know, put yourself out there. You know, as we've already sort of discussed, you know, you're pushing the submit button, you're putting yourself out there. It's a bit scary, but there's no downside to doing that. Because reapplicants are not punished for being simply a reapplicant.
Yep.
You do have to show that you've recognized what the problems were in the previous application, or you've worked to improve on what you've been doing. But otherwise, I mean, put yourself out there and there's not very many absolutes in the medical school admissions process. The only one that I have ever known is if you do not apply, you will not get in.
Yep.
So, you know, put yourself out there. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd definitely say yes on that one.
Okay. All right. This is an interesting one. We'll see where this one goes. So no MCAT score, scheduled in August after 3 rescheduling appointments, unfortunately. Thanks, COVID. Science GPA, 2.5. Cumulative GPA, 2.76. They put the third number in there in case that 0.009 that actually helped. 2509 2763. Post-bac science GPA 3667. They didn't unfortunately they didn't say how many credits that is.
Yeah.
So let's assume it's 20 credits, right? Some significant number. So this is a student who obviously did very poorly in their first go round, and something flipped. It looks like UCLA for undergrad, and now they're at University of Arizona for their post-bac. Yeah. Still planning on taking classes throughout the summer and the following year. Worked at Disney as an EMT. Kind of cool. Obviously, Disney's closed right now, although opening up July again. UC Irvine as a senior trauma technician, emergency department technician, emergency room technician. So lots of clinical experiences, some leadership experiences they put in here, some cultural leadership experiences, some good volunteer experiences. Looks like they've gone to a bunch of conferences around trauma, and looks like their application screams future ER doc. That's obviously what they're interested in.
Right, emergency
medicine stuff. They're in California, applying to all the UC schools along with private schools. GPA, obviously, they put as the biggest red flag. The student putting that their father passed away in the last year of undergrad at UCLA, so maybe that potentially is what tanked the GPA. Cardiac arrest at home. I froze and didn't start CPR until the dispatcher instructed me to. That's brutal. One of my best friends had to do CPR on his own dad, and it's just like, oh, it's brutal. Unfortunate.
That's tragic. Yeah.
So that potentially explains, right, this emergency medicine love as well. So their story, I believe my story and experiences will help me stand out in terms of work experience. I believe being EMT for Disneyland is something that will help me stand out. So that's where they're at.
Yeah. Yeah. I there's several things I would want to know about, to dig a little bit deeper into this particular application. I would want to know how long the distance was between the previous academic work and the new academic work. In other words, is this a student who has been at it for, you know, 5 or 10 years and has worked, you know, worked as an EMT for quite a while and, you know, whatever. Or is this somebody who kind of went straight from UCLA to University of Arizona and is now working out the post-bac stuff? I think often, not always, but often the big mistake that non-traditional students make is that they try to rush it. That they try to, that, you know, particularly with career changers, but not always, but particularly with career changers who they have gone through some iteration of some work that they didn't like or that didn't connect with them or whatever. And then all of a sudden they figured out finally what they want, what they really want to do, and they're ready to get on with it. And so they're rushing themselves through a post-bac program, or they're rushing themselves through, you know, taking classes on their own or whatever. And they see, they feel like that the feeling is that they are wasting time because they want to get on with it. And so I think it's a little bit counterintuitive for them to slow down and be a little bit more methodical and prepare themselves a little bit more to go into the application cycle. Now, having said that, many medical schools, and we talked about this earlier on one of the other sessions, that the medical schools are going to see that GPA cut up in a lot of different ways. They're not just going to see that 2.5, 2.7, whatever. They're going to see that a distinct post-bac GPA that either the last 60 hours, or they're going to see a post-bac GPA. So that's going to be distinct. And what they're really banking on is that the medical school is going to see that distinct GPA and say, we have confidence in that. Whatever it was before is before, but we have confidence that this student can really make it in the curriculum based on who they are right now in the classroom. The more hours you have of that post-bac GPA, the more confidence you're going to give to the medical school.
Yeah.
So I would say that it's really important. When I was at the medical school in Dallas, we were looking for about 45 hours of post-bac credits to say, of all sciences, to say this is a body of work that really represents a good chunk of science classes that we can have confidence in and know that this student is able to do the work at a high level.
Yeah.
So I would say I'd be on the fence on this one. I think I would say maybe another year would really extend the good things that they're already seeing and give them a greater degree of confidence going into the process. I think MCAT's going to be a big thing on this application. I would say good MCAT score, I might go for it. Kind of moderately, you know, okay MCAT score, I might delay. I would say, not to say, you know, I certainly don't want to suggest the numbers are everything, but in cases like this, the numbers do represent a lot, and I think they have to really recognize that. And so I would say I'd be on the fence a little bit without the MCAT score, but with a strong MCAT score, I might move forward. If the MCAT score comes in a little bit low, I might delay it another year.
Yeah. Awesome. I think that's all the time we have for those. Those are fun. Those are interesting. So,
yeah,
well,
like
we'll have to come up with a good format to get the information we need to really dive in, right? To know the number of post-bac hours that student had, post-bac credits. That would definitely help. Yeah. But those are fun. Red light, green light. That's what I want to call it. I keep going to that, but it doesn't mean anything.
I love that.
And that's interesting, right? That's the kind of feedback that MAPT, right? When students are able to enter in their courses into MAPT, we'll be able to say, hey, like your grades aren't strong right now. Here's some recommendations. You need maybe 20, 30, 40 hours, whatever we want to say of post-bac credit. And here's why you should do that. And here's why you need a better MCAT score. And here's some different study techniques or whatever. Right. So that's why I'm just super stoked about MAPT and what we're going to
do. Absolutely. Same here.
Well, Dr. Scott Wright, thank you so much for your day.
Absolutely.
And everything you've done so far with MAPT. Yeah.
A lot of fun. Absolutely. So we'll play red light, green light again sometime.
We will play red light, green light. And I don't know if you've been told this. We're the Ask the Dean series. We're going to rock and roll with that. Those who sign up for MAPT in this introductory period, we're going to get a little private Facebook group. That's where we're going to do the Ask the Dean stuff. So
yeah,
we're going to have fun in there. All right, there you have it. I think during the episode, I forget if we actually, what we called it during National Pre-Med Day. I think we called it red light, green light. I think Am I Ready is a little bit smoother. So Am I Ready, the first episode, a really trial episode. We'll call it the pilot episode for our new series that we're putting on at MAPT. If you want to apply, go to mapt.com/ready, mapd.com/ready. If you're interested in MAPT, it's our new platform that we're building at mapt.com. And actually, as soon as I'm done talking here, I'm going into the pre-med hangout, which if you're not a part of, premedhangout.com. And I'm actually going to show off a little bit of MAPT. We just got access to the platform, kind of bare bones platform, a couple days ago. So I'm going to jump in and show that if you want to jump in and see what's going on with MAPT. Our special pre-order pricing is still in effect. It is going to go up on July 1st, and we'll stay at that price until we launch it, hopefully maybe by August. That's the goal. Fall of 2020. That's what we're saying. So again, mapt.com. If you are interested in finding out more about MAPT, or mapt.com/ready, mappd.com/ready. If you want to apply to be part of Am I Ready, this new series that we're putting on with MAPT. Hope you have a great day. We'll see you next time here on the Pre-Med Years.
This is MedEd Media.